Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 937. It's the 30th of November 2017. On the podcast today, I have Bobo Cooty, CEO of Sirius Petroleum, SRSP, and Bobo discusses their transition from an investing company to an operating company and developments going forward. Plus, I also have Dr. Steve Staley, CEO of Upland Resources, UPL. It's been a long time since Steve's been on the podcast. And Steve discusses their North Sea farming agreement. Also on the podcast, Brian Larkin, CEO of United Oil and Gas, UOG. Haven't been listed long, but doing deals. And Brian discusses their Latin American farming agreement and their Italian operational update. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Bobo Cooty, CEO of Sirius Petroleum. That's SRSP. Bobo, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a while. I mean, you've been suspended, of course, for reasons we'll discuss in a bit. But I guess it's an exciting time for you. But before we get into a couple of questions about what's happening at the moment and what's happened, explain, for people not aware of your company, what are you all about, Bobo?
So Sirius Petroleum is a company focused on developing proven resources in Nigeria. These are assets which were previously discovered and drilled by majors back in the late 1980s. And with this significant resource base available in Nigeria, the federal government set up an indigenization program for companies to get these proven assets into production. And that's what we're doing. And they have beneficial fiscal regimes associated with it. So it's ideal for our structure.
Yeah, and I suppose you should mention the suspension and the deal before we get into questions about the deal. Can you briefly mention what happened there?
So the entry into the joint operating agreement marked our transition from investing company to an operating company. Mm-hmm. And this was following the vendor finance consortium agreements we signed with Schlumberger, Add Energy, COSL, the Chinese state oil company, and then finally a prepayment agreement with BP. With that, we entered into the joint operating agreement with our partners, which gave us full operating control to develop the assets. And the deferred payments that we had structured with these world-class service providers, we required some upfront deposits and mobilization fees to be paid so we could kickstart the campaign to first oil. So we can pay the mobilization costs and upfront deposits to commence the drilling campaign.
Okay, and shareholders are probably quite excited by this. And what do you think it means for them, Bobo?
So what it means essentially is that we're fully funded to first oil. We're going to be pressing the starting gun on the campaign, and we anticipate the rig arriving on site to the drilling location circa March 2018, where we'll be executing the first well, which will be a 45-day well campaign, projected to generate an initial production rate of circa 2,700 barrels per day, according to the recent CPR that we have published by Rockflow. The well will essentially be completed on the G-Sand reservoir, which is the oil sand which previously flow tested to surface by Chevron. But importantly, we'll also be testing the shallower D-Sand reservoir sequence to assess their productivity. The CPR believes these are potentially prolific reservoirs. We know they're in production on adjacent fields. But moreover, we're going to be assessing some potential upside on the field because we believe there may be some deeper horizons, which we know are present on the surrounding field. So this gets us to production, and you know, following the conclusion of the first well, we'll be looking to drill additional wells in order to execute a multi-well campaign.
Marvelous stuff, and it's quite buoyant of late. You know, it's having a bounce. But how do you see the oil market environment, you know, next year, Bubba?
So, I mean, we think there's, you know, significant positive momentum with the oil price, and we're heading $65 per barrel oil, and I think this momentum is likely to increase. If you look at what the sort of International Energy Agency published in November 2016, where they believe the sort of consumption, the daily consumption of barrels, was going to be circa 100 million barrels in 2024, mm-hmm. You know, when we had that recession. But what we've seen actually is the annual production growth demand has increased much higher than expectations in terms of time transition. So the oil demand has grown by 2.1 million barrels per day in 2015. It grew by 1.8 million barrels per day in 2016. And it looks like it's going to have another growth of around 1.6 million barrels per day in 2017. So there's upward momentum. And, you know, the increase in shale production is going to be more tempered, I think, as the oil price increases, because these assets, they're not yet self-funding. They have diminishing returns on productivity. So I don't think the shale oil production on its own will be able to sort of keep up with demand. So I think there's likely to be higher oil prices before you see the demand being satisfied. So I think it's a very, very positive time for oil development and production.
Okay, yeah, interesting. So, and as far as, you know, Nigeria is concerned specifically, what's the situation like there for oil and gas producers such as yourself?
The Nigerian situation is extremely positive. President Buhari, under his regime, you know, published the Petroleum Industry Bill, which makes it much more transparent. And they have, you know, put in place, you know, initiatives to make it beneficial for indigenous projects such as ourselves. Also, the interesting thing is the Ministry of Petroleum Resources announced that they're going to be releasing an additional marginal field bid round. And it's our intention to participate in that bid round through our indigenous partnership. So there's lots of opportunities in Nigeria. It's very very beneficial for our structure.
Okay, and just looking forward now, next few months, next year, what specific news do you have coming out?
So next year, obviously, it's a very, very short time to production, to first oil. We're going to be drilling the first well, the Oruwa 2 well, and provided the production rates are in line with the CPR estimates, you would have seen we announced a contingent liquidity facility of $100 million, which is being structured by an independent Swiss banking group, Real. That facility involves the establishment of a special purpose vehicle, which is backed by securitizing the BP oil offtake. And essentially what it means is that it would allow Sirius to fully fund the proposed development of the Aurora field, involving the drilling, completion of multi-wells, and the installation of permanent production, processing, and pipeline facilities at the fields. And, you know, the way this works is because in the CPR, you know, the gross operating cash flow to be generated via the Oruwa field offtake contract with BP is nominally estimated to be between $164 to $180 million at $45 to $50 oil over the first 5 years of production. So in this way, the contingent liquidity facility can be utilized to develop the field. So we anticipate having a lot of activity, a lot of drilling activity next year, and also, you know, the ability to review and step into other assets.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, Bobo, if someone's listening right now and likes the sound of what you're doing here, but are not yet following you on Vox Markets, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
Okay, so three reasons were obviously, as I mentioned before, we're funded to first oil and strategy is in place to fully fund the multi-well program. We have some great opportunities to grow the portfolio of producing and near producing assets with Nigeria and the prolific basin that it is. And, you know, I believe the time is now in oil and gas, you know, with the potential momentum in the oil price. And we're well placed to develop these further assets with our world-class service providers.
Excellent stuff. Well, Bobo, it sounds like a very interesting and busy sort of next 6 to 12 months ahead of you. So no doubt we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks so much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is someone I've not spoken to for a while. It's Dr. Stephen Staley of Upland Resources, CEO there. UPL is ticket. Steve, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Good to speak to you again, Justin.
I was looking, last time we spoke, I think, was in the early part of the year, I think about March time. And so it's nice to have you on off the back of some news. And I've got to say, it's long overdue, but it's good news by the looks of it, and the market like it. So before we get into the detail here, Steve, for people not aware of Upland Resources, because you've been sort of doing work in the background for the last 6 to 9 months, explain what you're all about, please. Summarise it, if you could.
Yes, Justin. We're a junior, i.e. small-end oil and gas exploration company, and we are focusing geographically on the UK, on parts of North Africa and on Southeast Asia. So that's really where we're coming from, and building on the experience, the contacts that we have in those areas.
Yeah, well, I was quite surprised to see this, Harness, because last time we chatted, you know, and obviously people on the board as well from have a lot of experience in Southeast Asia there and all that. So I was expecting something from Southeast Asia or North Africa, where you've mentioned previously in previous RNSs, that's where you're looking and you're far down the line of due diligence. But then you come up with this this little beauty here. So it's a North Sea farming agreement. So take us through the detail here, Steve, if you could.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, just to say, I mean, in terms of North Africa and Southeast Asia, we are still very much pursuing things there. So we can, maybe we come back to that. But for this, the WIC farming, so this is North Sea License P2235. We farmed in to a 40% interest there from Corallian Energy. It's a contingent. It's contingent on a number of things. But why we like it is, I mean, this is a block. It's in the Inner Moray Firth. It's shallow water, relatively cheap drilling. It's jack-up drilling, or indeed, one could drill this from onshore. It's the potential here in this block is very large for a company of our size. As you see from the RNS, we've calculated a P50 in place of about 250 million barrels in the WIC prospect, and that's a very goodly size indeed. Mm-hmm. We think the risks are very acceptable. There are risks here. The principal risks, and without getting too techy about it, are to do with the faults, the big faults that define this prospect. And we've spent a lot of time looking at that. We've taken the data. When there's a lot of data, there's a full 3D data set here. We've interpreted it ourselves, remapped it ourselves, and reassessed those fault seal risks. And we're very comfortable with it, and that's why we've gone ahead with this farming.
Yeah, so it's very exciting, and I've got to say, you know, before you have a sort of strategy, a two sort of tier strategy of sensible and sort of sexy, or sort of you know, near cash generating assets is a sensible one, and those transformational plays that's part of strategy two, and this is very much in this sort of sexy strategy, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is the first, if you like, of the sexy assets, and we're very pleased to have you know, affected this, and it will not be the last.
Yeah, and so what's next in regards to this then, Steve?
In regards to the strategy, you mean, Justin?
In regards to this farming, what's the next bit of news we can expect from this?
Okay. Well, as we work through it, we will see hopefully all the conditions precedent being met over the coming months. We will have news on hopefully environmental studies being completed. It doesn't require any seismic. There will be rig contracts though to announce as the months go on, and the target for this is to spud this well by September next year. So this is a very near-term drilling opportunity. So not just big and sexy, but also near-term.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And let's just touch on some of the other areas of interest. You mentioned North Africa there and Southeast Asia. So things are still ongoing there. You haven't changed anything there. You're still looking at projects there as well. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. We're looking at a number of projects in both areas, and can't be accurate about when we will have something to announce, as our shareholders will recognise, and we take a lot of time and effort to do the proper due diligence on these things. And that's, as we've done with this, with WIC, we're doing with North Africa and Southeast Asia. I would like to thank them for their patience, by the way. I know that several investors have emailed me in the past and said, you know, when is something going to happen? I've not, of course, been able to give them any details, but thank you very much, you know, for your patience. And just to say, you know, this is, as I mentioned before, this is the first of several new prospects that we will be talking about as the months go on. So, you know, things are developing.
So what is it that, because I know, I think, obviously, I don't know anything here, but I suspect from when we last talked back in March, you were expecting news on North Africa and Southeast Asia a lot sooner than this. And I think you thought it was going to be, you know, announced in the next couple of months or so. So what is it that takes time? Is it just dealing with sort of the authorities there? What's the deal? Why did it take so long?
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, really, that's it. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, and it's nothing particular about those particular areas of the world. But whenever you have a government sitting on the other side of the table, things are never as quick as one might wish. And that's, you know, simply because governments like to dot I's and cross T's. It can be frustrating. I do appreciate that for investors, also for us. But one has to just, you know, be diligent and just keep going.
Yeah. And are they, you know, are you excited by them as you are by this recent deal?
Oh, yes. We have some very, very exciting potential out there.
Okay, and let's have a quick word on Wrestle. I know there's been a hearing, isn't there, recently, the appeal and stuff. And when is news expected from that, Steve? And in fact, explain the background here, if you could, a slight bit of the background, if you could.
Yes. We Upland did a farming deal for a 10% stake in Wrestle about a year ago. That was contingent on, amongst other things, there being planning permission granted by the local council for the wells to be put essentially onto production. The well's already been drilled and most of the work's already been done. Now, they didn't get the planning permission, so it went to an appeal, which has just been heard early in November by the Planning Inspectorate. They have just put up on their website, the Planning Inspectorate website, that a decision on that will be given on or before the 10th of January next year. So we will know where we are with Wrestle before the 10th of January.
Excellent stuff. That's, hopefully it's coming into a bit of a news-rich period there, Steve. So if people are listening right now, Steve, they're not following the story on Vox, but they like the sound of what you're talking about here, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
Okay. I suppose the first is that we're now, we've got a good balanced portfolio. We've got the initial smaller, less risky projects already in there. This is the first of the bigger, higher potential projects. So we're affecting this phase two strategy. I suppose the second is that we're financially sound.
Yeah.
We've already still got about £2 million in cash there. Mm-hmm. We have no debt. We're frugal. We don't run big offices and large amounts of overheads. So the money that you invest will be spent as far as we possibly can on doing the projects. And the third is that, you know, although this is a phase, if you like, our phase two first big project, you know, we believe that there will be more coming in the near future.
Excellent,
so,
Steve. Don't be a stranger, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much, Steve.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Brian Larkin, CEO of United Oil and Gas. That's UOG ticker. Brian, thanks for joining me again.
You're welcome, Justin. It's good to talk.
Yeah, do you know what? It seems a couple of days ago when we were last talking, but you've released two bits of news since. So it's a lot to catch up on. You're working fast there. But before we get into that, Brian, for people not aware of United Oil and Gas, could you give a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Yeah, well, we're a former Tullow Oil team. We started the business in April 2015, and since then we've listed on the London Stock Exchange. We've completed three farm-ins now and currently working on a range of follow-up acquisition and farming opportunities. And our strategy really is to build a low-risk business in Europe with plenty of near-term activity whilst adding blue-sky, big-bang, high-impact exploration opportunities in Latin America and Africa. And as a management team, we have a lot of experience in those regions and a lot of contacts in those regions.
Okay, well, let's go to the 27th of November, which is a couple of days after we talked, and you mentioned the Latin American Farming Agreement. Take us through this, outline the deal and potential license size, if you could, Brian, of that.
Yeah, certainly. This is an absolute massive deal for United Island Gas and our shareholders. It's an opportunity that companies of our size don't ordinarily get access to. It's an opportunity that mid-caps and majors tend to chase. So getting a material 20% share in this field is probably unique for a company of our size. In terms of the size of the field, or potential size of the field itself, the first target has potentially 200 million barrels of oil recoverable gross. Now, we would be entitled to 20% of that right now, but before we drill a well, we'd farm down and potentially get a significant carry. So we'll probably be covered for the well cost, a certainly significant value of the well cost. But the NPV value of 200 million barrels is in the region of $600 million. Now, what's probably even more exciting is that if the first target actually comes in, that $600 million NPV value actually goes out the window because it opens up the whole area and the follow-up. There is numerous targets to follow up to get after. So that $600 million NPV value, gross, I might add, actually becomes a multiple.
Okay, wow. And tell us a bit about the history of the license, if you could, Brian.
Yeah, well, Jamaica is a region, it hasn't had a huge amount of activity. There's been 11 wells have been drilled in Jamaica, 9 onshore and 2 offshore, and all but one of them had shows. So there hasn't been a huge amount of activity previously, but when Tullow got into the license, they acquired they secured a large portfolio of 2D seismic and shot a further 2D seismic in 2016 and 2017. And I guess the result of that has really confirmed our view that there is potentially a working hydrocarbon system in place. So in terms of moving forward with the license, the plan would be to acquire 3D seismic in 2019, and that would focus on the high-graded Calibri lead. So the cost of that work program to United Island Gas is around £1.5 million. So for an outlay of £1.5 million, United Oil and Gas shareholders have potential NPV value in excess of $100 million. So in terms of return on money, it's absolutely outstanding, and it is probably the cheapest exploration opportunity that we have seen.
Wow.
So we're really, really excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's the work program going forward?
Well, the work program, as I said, is to acquire 3D seismic in 2018. And then once that is completed, we will look to farm down. Should we move forward into drilling a well, we will look to farm down significantly from our 20% position down to potentially maybe 10% and have a carry on a exploration well potentially in 2020.
Excellent stuff. And let's go into the update you've announced on Italy. Take us through that. And also to a sort of addendum to that, someone has also asked of the chance of success on that. If you could go through that as well, please. Brian?
Yeah, well, if we talk about the chance of success for a start and address that one first, this well has a very, very high chance of success. There's no such thing in the industry as a slam dunk, as we know, but the field itself was previously in production. It produced 83 BCF of gas before it was shut in. And even when it was shut in, it was still producing a BCF a year. So, well, this well is chasing that. We're drilling this potentially another 20 BCF of gas, which is absolutely huge. So the fact that the field is previously produced de-risks it considerably. Now, we're reluctant to say, it's an absolute slam dunk, but there's a very, very high chance of success. Just regarding the actual progress we've made on the drilling itself, I mean, we did an RNS out this morning, and we expect to be at TD and target depth in the next 6 to 8 days. So hopefully we'll have news flow on the well results shortly afterwards. So we're really pleased with the progress we've made. It's a really interesting field, and given that the chance of success is so high and the drilling has taken such a short period of time.
Yeah, yeah. And are you still looking around for acquisitions and stuff, or are you happy with what you've got at the moment? What's going on?
No, we won't stop. We're going to continue to build the portfolio. And it's about getting that mix right for us, because we've added, you know, kind of a longer lead opportunity in Jamaica into the portfolio. So what we'll continue to do now is look at opportunities in Europe with that have near-term activity and try to build the European business. We'll also keep an eye out for opportunities in Latin America and Africa that we feel are similar in terms of risk profile, recoverable volumes, and return on money. We'll continue to look at those opportunities, but I think probably the next acquisition of Farming for us will probably come in Europe, and we'll probably have something we'll most likely have something with some near-term activity, such as drilling a well or a redevelopment project of some description. But we're looking at quite a number of opportunities, and we will continue to do that. Our whole focus is to build the business by acquisition and farming. And although we're probably considered a minnow by some people at this stage, we certainly don't plan on being a minnow for much longer. I think the Jamaican acquisition proves our ability to land and execute big deals that mid-caps and majors go after, and that's the type of level that we're aspiring to get to very quickly.
Yeah, and just one other question, because someone on Twitter contacted me saying, could you also ask Brian about some of the UK assets?
Yeah, well, we as I think I mentioned last week on the podcast, we're currently interpreting the seismic reprocessing results. We're very pleased with what we've seen so far. We'll be talking to our joint venture partners this week and next week about potentially planning for a well on the Watercross field in summer 2018. So plenty of activity in that regard.
Yeah, excellent stuff. All right, Brian, well, listen, you sound very busy. And you're always looking around, like you say, you're very busy on the acquisition front as well. So if people like the sound of this and what you're hearing, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the first one is the company, in our view, is way undervalued. We spotted a well last week. We have well results out in the next 2 weeks, and the share price hasn't really moved a whole lot on the back of that. In addition to the Italian well, we've added what most would consider to be a unique and absolute materially opportunity in Latin America, which I don't think the share price is quite reflecting that just yet. Second one is, we've proven that we can execute big transactions, and I think that sets out our ambition for United Oil and Gas and where we want to bring the company. And thirdly, we've well results out in the next couple of weeks, so there's plenty of news flow. There's plenty happening with United Oil and Gas right now.
Excellent stuff, Brian. Good to chat to you. And like you said, there's plenty of happening, so no doubt we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Tristan.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, Blenheim Natural Resources, bit of a follow today, BNR. At four, Photostar LED, that's PSL. At three, Parallel Media, PAA. At two, Sirica Energy, SQZ, high flyer today on the readmission. And number one, talk about high flyers. this is almost rubbing it into me now. I couldn't buy a lot of stock when this announced their RNS a couple of days back. 1.7 pence was the price that was offered, as quoted. I could have bought a little bit of stock. I couldn't, you know, and I thought, oh, bother. I tried three times to buy more, and I couldn't get any, so I didn't bother. The share price has now hit 18.5 pence, and that was 1.7 pence. That was a 10-bagger in 3 days. Wow! Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Blenheim Natural Resources, increased West African lithium exposure. At four, Sand Energy, exploration volume estimates for Sidi Mokhtar. At three, Prospect Oil and Gas, drilling update onshore Italy. At two, Vast Resources, that's Manila Extension, Calibaba drilling results update. And number one, most liked RNS, was from Harvest Minerals, a change in the royalty rates in Brazil for fertilizer, which just proves that Brazil are pro, you know, domestic production of fertilizer, which is good for them. HMI. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to ft.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.